broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Let's get down.
Kaya Biz.
Let's get down to business.
On the street.
On the air.
On the air.
Welcome to it. Of course, as mentioned, it's been a very interesting day. And just to paint a picture as to how everything certainly started, around 3 o'clock, the dynamics around our reporting of the budget speech had certainly shifted. Not only did we get clarity on the postponement of the budget speech after a few briefings that took place from political leaders, helping us understand that the issue at heart was related to VAT. But beyond that, what we've also come to understand, as has been mentioned by many of my previous guests, is that the GNU and the cracks within its foundation have certainly been brought to light. As you can imagine, myself and Sinenjabulo Sibeko, the star producer of the show, have been in Cape Town preparing to bring you a stellar broadcast, which we continue to do, with all the necessary plans in place to speak to the finance minister and various business representatives. But I must tell you, shortly after 3 o'clock, all of that changed very quickly. And we sat back, we looked at the reaction, we fully understood the confusion that was created, and even also followed through by getting feedback from many business participants that they too had postponed many of the sidelined events that are often affiliated with the budget speech. But one thing it also caused was just a heightened level of surprise between myself and my colleagues, those in the newsroom and of course those in programming, specifically two colleagues. The host and presenter of Seize the World, Sizwe Gomo, and Phimelo Modene, the host of Point of View on POV. Two people that I get to speak to every day about these kind of issues. And boy, oh boy, I must tell the two of you that it's been a whirlwind of activity for today. Sizwe, I can't imagine what you must be thinking given your love for politics.
Leverage it this way. The things that transpired today got me to drive back to work this evening. I'm in the studio with Phimelo, as you can hear.
Yeah.
And I think Professor Moala basically explained everything in the best way possible, right? There are a lot of issues that I even heard you mention in the first hour of your show. One of the issues is obviously the shrinking tax base in South Africa, but the continued need to raise more and more money because there's a lot of things that we need to fund. I think today we also saw politics kind of bleed into governance in that the DA has always been in opposition benches, and it's very easy to be opposition. I can sit here and criticize everything that's wrong with this country probably until the show ends. If you ask me what the solution is, however, well, then that's a lot more difficult. Now, once you're in government, the problems that the country is faced with become your problem as well because you need to come up with a solution. So in the short term, I see a lot of people saying, man, I never thought the DA would ever save me like this, because that's how they feel. They feel like they've been spared a 2 percentage point increase in VAT. But the question they're going to need to ask themselves very soon after this is, okay, where are we going to get this money from, right? Because it may seem like what the DA has done has saved poor people, specifically everybody that's struggling in the country. But as you heard Professor Mohale say, a majority of our money goes towards also social welfare, right? And so if you don't have enough money to cover that, then essentially your actions are anti-poor as well.
100%. Well, Phimelo, you and I also often deliberate on the fallout of coalition governments as well that have taken place recently on Point of View. Mm-hmm. And to see this play out at a national level?
I mean, Caesar makes the point that, you know, it's very easy to sit in the opposition benches. But I have a different challenge for all those who are sitting in the GNU. That we hear Groenewald today say that, you know, we only heard this a few minutes before the minister was supposed to speak is absolutely unacceptable. I want to ask all of them one simple question. And it's easy also for us to point fingers at those who are not in the GNU and ask them questions. But actually, I want to know, what were they actually doing in that cabinet lekgotla, the cabinet lekgotla that happens before SONA? So as they were clapping for what the president was telling us, you and I had this conversation. The president speaks and gives us the SONA. It's always backed by money. So it makes no sense to have this wonderful speech without knowing how is this vision going to be financed. And where were they all along? Where were they when those conversations were happening? Why did they not bring up the issue of the VAT increase? Because we all knew it was, you know, the murmurs were all over the place.
What should be even more concerning is not just what the other members of the GNU are saying, but what we told by a minister in the presidency, Khumbuzo Ntshavheni, that ministers in the ANC were also against this budget, right? Now, to find that out on the day of the budget, for me...
Unacceptable.
Very unacceptable. because we all know what the procedure would be. You need to table this in Parliament. It needs to get the necessary votes. Now, it was easier when the ANC was just the only party that needed the majority of the votes because they could whip the party and get the votes.
Absolutely.
Now, it doesn't work that well.
And again, we must ask the question, where have they been? Where were they sitting all along? You know, that they say, you know, we only saw the 2% increase this morning and then we were alarmed. It's absolutely not good enough. They should have been the ones asking the questions even before they were told about the 2% increase. They should have been the ones doing their job in government. As Susan says, you know, it's very easy to sit out there. When you're in government, what have they been doing? And they need to account to all of us. They must not take the credit. They must tell us what were they doing as partners in the GNU. Because, look, let me just tell you this. It would have also been easy for the ANC to slip it through like they usually have. Not really consult much. Treasury does its own thing. And, you know, just a few minutes beforehand, they'll just kind of like show you what's coming and then they go over there. Well, I want to ask all of them, what happened last night? Why didn't they have this conversation? Why didn't anybody ask what's in the actual budget?
Well, again, they say the proof is in the pudding, right? So if you look at what Julius Malema said when he was in Parliament, he said, well, table this budget.
Absolutely.
Let's debate it.
Correct.
And then if it fails a vote, let it fail the vote.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what would have been, that would have happened if they actually tried to slip it under everybody's nose.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the detail, people would have realized, okay, this is not what we signed up for.
Yeah.
And I think perhaps maybe that would have been more embarrassing for the ANC. But on the other hand, it would have demonstrated the kind of leadership that I think everybody is now asking themselves if we're ever going to have again.
Mm.
Right? Because you need some kind of decisiveness. When Gugu and I were speaking earlier, I made an analogy, kind of a silly one, a very simplified one. If your father, for example, came to you and they said, today, or rather this year, you're going to be going to this school, we're going to buy you this uniform, etc. and so on. And on the morning where you're supposed to go to that school, your aunt came and said, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then indeed, you did not go to that school. Who runs that household?
Yeah. Well, how clear is that, actually? Because I'm not convinced. I hear the minister say earlier, you know, in the end, we're not going to have a rally and ask for everybody to tell us what to do. We've got a president and the president must decide. Well, actually, that's not what happened. If the president were a decisive president, we wouldn't be here. There would be a budget that was tabled and we wouldn't have a debate.
And in any case, you don't have the votes to pass this budget without anybody else.
Google?
But I think you both raised such an important issue, right? Because this takes us back then to the fundamentals of the GNU. And not only have the both of you brought it up in your shows in terms of conversations, even after the elections, when it took a while for us to establish a GNU, but we've gone off into the global society and community. If you think of Davos and many other meetings, even preparing for the G20 and the sideline meetings that will take place in Cape Town next week, this global united front, it's needed and it's necessary. But when your dirty laundry starts being flaunted in public, perhaps might also weigh quite significantly on confidence, right? And the level of camaraderie that you gain from your other key stakeholders. I'm not too sure what the two of you or how you view this and perhaps if these leakages or concerns are factors that we should have known before.
I want to throw, you know, a question at both of you and Caesar's just alluded to it. The concerns that were raised by Julius, I think actually they're quite valid. What then becomes the purpose of Parliament? The separation between Parliament and this now GNU unit, which gathered together and decided we're going to postpone this and then tell Parliament, well, this is what we've decided. How is a GNU going forward going to actually engage with political parties outside of the GNU? Because if it were democratic, all of this should have been in Parliament. Not in a meeting separate from Parliament with certain parties. And yes, they point out two parties were there and they said they disagreed. But what's this democracy about? Parliament is supposed to be where everybody gets a chance to have a voice and so on. I'm not sure that we are yet clear about how the GNU as a unit is going to play its role and still be a good parliamentary player. I don't think they did that today very well.
Well, actually, that's where I disagree. I think this is democracy at play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there's absolutely nothing wrong now with the legislature. The problem is with the executive. It's the executive that's broken. Because if the executive, the center was holding, they would have been able to come up with the decision and then bring that collective decision to the legislature. legislature will then vote on it, adopt it, and then everything will be fine. So what we need to address is the executive issue. That's what we need to address, because that's where the problem seemingly is.
Mm. That's a big call there, Caesar, because you're quite right. That takes it right to the top in terms of decision making. And of course, the president's response as to how he comes back from this. We've called for many of our listeners to participate and share their voice notes, and we have quite a few. And that's exactly what we want, for you to join us in this conversation and share your views on the outcomes of speech that has been postponed, what it means from a political point of view, what it is that we are seeing in terms of economics, and of course politics versus governance, and the impact that it has on our livelihoods as South Africans. You're listening to this Kaya Biz special broadcast. Don't be dismayed, it's not Wednesday morning, but Sizwe Gomo is joining us for this broadcast together with Phemelo Modene, who's joined us an hour earlier. It's 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. We continue with this conversation after the break.
Ah, Siskuk, I want an amenia kala. Bazo increase the tax, anya kala, sister. You see, peas in electric, imanja say, tenga, sister. Dala, si tenga. Bastard, we still April, rough another 12% increase. Shooting out tenga, 500, manja, you told 100 units. Just imagine. Ah, sister, Ramega, you say, limala, say, limala. Namans, and up about increase. Shooting, umunto sevens, I say, king in the country. Yo, ah, sister.
One thing that I like about our country, I think that we are unpredictable. We are unpredictable. So I'm thinking, what, this whole week you've been talking about the budget speech and we've been excited about it. So I was looking forward to getting it, Sashisa, you know, from you. Only to you guys, for you guys to say, it's not going to happen today. It will happen. And then for the DA to be behind it. I've never been pro-DA, but this time around, I'm like, seriously? So they are fighting for the 2% not to happen. Maybe this is the party I need to vote for. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but yeah, South Africa is interesting, guys. I know, no. I think we must just fasten our seat belts, because it's going to be a very bumpy ride. I cannot wait now more than ever for the next budget speech. It's going to be, I don't even want to say, yeah.
Well, that was a voice note from Mubulawa sharing her reflections on the budget speech today. And she's quite right. We're in for a roller coaster ride, as we already are in uncharted territory as a country with a government of national unity. Bear in mind, it's not unique to South Africa. We do see coalition governments across the world. Think of markets like Germany, France, even Bulgaria, who themselves continue to have issues of contention with regard to adequate leadership. But in South Africa, it's certainly coming to the fore and has been met with a heightened level of discomfort, confusion, and maybe even heightened anxiety, depending on how you read the circumstance. But as has been described, really a demonstration of democracy at work. It's 23 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to this Kaya Biz special broadcast. I am in conversation with two of the sharpest minds that we have in the building. Perhaps some of my colleagues might take issue with that, huh? I don't know. Phemelo Modene, host of Point of View, and Sizwe Gomo, host of Seize the World, are joining us for this conversation. The two of you have really built up in terms of helping us, you know, cover some of the major themes that we do need to be mindful of in this conversation. But as has been mentioned, maybe we can shift back to the finances and the revenue streams that we need to be aware of. And we've often seen a heightened level of support, camaraderie as well, between the SARS Commissioner, Edward Kisveta, as well as Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana. But today, even that relationship appeared to show some cracks, right?
Yeah. So when people speak of the cracks showing in the GNU, we mentioned before we went to the ad break that it's actually the cracks that are showing in the executive, right? And those departments that you've mentioned, the SARB and Treasury, work hand in hand. The money that gets collected by the SARB, and then Treasury has to spend the money. You'd expect that those two people would have a very good relationship. Yeah. And I heard you in the first hour of the show speaking about the former administrations, for example. When Thabo Mbeki was president, I remember speaking to Uncle Tito. There were only three people who could ever speak about the economy. It was either him, or it was Trevor Manuel, or it was Tito Mboweni. The three T's. And that would be that. And because they obviously sung from the same hymn book, you need that kind of I'll call it unison thinking in a country. Mm-hmm. However, these days, we hear from everybody, including the SG of the ANC. We then heard what we weren't supposed to hear today, which was a hot mic. And the minister, Enoch Godongwana, was speaking and made it clear how he feels about Commissioner Kisveta, We've got that audio. Maybe let's play it in case you haven't heard it yourself.
I was a bit, I was worried that she'd not be angry. He's making me angry.
Yes, no, it's quite angry.
I said, we're discussing, even here, he comes up with this rubbish. I said, how will it help me on the 19th, even now on the 12th? Yes. He did not know that we've made provision for him for 3.5 in the new arrangement. Yeah. But that 3.5 now is gone.
Yes, no, no, all right. We're finally keep. What happened in here?
So, do you see, that is not the kind of thing that we should be hearing. More especially on a day like this.
I just think there's a lot to be said about how, first of all, you spoke earlier about, you know, in Thabo Mbeki's time, only three people spoke on the finances. But I think right now, the ANC government just hasn't got its comms together. It really doesn't. Before the hot mic, you could tell that the minister was quite agitated when he was asked about the commissioner. You could tell that he wasn't handling this whole thing well. In fact, I think the entire thing was too long. I think it's, you know, they stayed on the issues too long. They said things they were not supposed to be saying. And I think they got derailed. And they didn't come across as having it together. And I think, and then on the other hand, there was Fikile Mbalula saying something completely different on the sidelines, which was a concern. And by the way, a few minutes ago, we just got a press release from the presidency also saying the president is clarifying things, that, you know, we are working well together. And while we didn't agree, we're working well together. This was issued, as I said, I mean, a few minutes ago. It's concerning. Why does the president feel the need to issue another statement after the minister in the presidency went and heard a whole press briefing? What's going on there?
And look, you can tell us that you're working well together all you want. But the fact of the matter is, people packed up, got on flights, went down to Cape Town expecting a budget speech to be delivered. Yeah. The fact that he didn't tells me that you guys are not working well together. Now, what you say and your actions do not match.
So I just want to point out something that one of the voice notes mentioned, that here people are now standing up and say, well, the DA is our hero. Folks, the DA just communicates better because the idea of a 2% increase, when you listen to Mbalula, clearly within the ANC, that discussion was had. And clearly within the ANC, there's disagreement there. And it's a surprise, obviously, that the DA, the ANC, would want to push for a 2% increase. It's a surprise. But here is the DA very quickly outside there presenting itself as the people who are for the poor, for the country. We wouldn't want to see that. I don't even know if that's a policy position, but they 100%. Are certainly making that impression come through very, very well.
And perhaps I want to jump in here, Pumelo, because what you're both describing in terms of the lack of communication and even misalignment that's taking place between the different divisions of government was illustrated today. So as we were waiting for the budget speech to start at 2 o'clock, there was a hive of activity. And you know, there's always typically the walk that takes place between the financial cluster, the SARS executive, members of National Treasury, the finance minister himself, and they all walk in with a heightened level of oomph and excitement. And that didn't happen. Instead, one of the first briefings we had, as you mentioned, was from Fikile Mbalula, who spoke in his capacity as a member of the ANC. Shortly after that, then was John Steenhuisen, who himself spoke in his capacity, not just as an MP, but of course, as leader of the DA. And even when we had some engagements with key counterparts at National Treasury, because fundamentally what happens before the budget speech takes place, a few of our colleagues within the in the media have the opportunity to actually see and read and interview and engage with members of National Treasury and key economists in what is described as a lockup. And quite literally, as the word describes, you're literally locked in a room with fellow journalists, other professionals who then interrogate the detail of the national budget speech before its delivery at 2 o'clock. At 2 o'clock, when the finance minister takes to the podium, that's when the embargo is lifted and these journalists are allowed then to go back and report on the outcomes within their respective organizations. Today, our dear colleague, Sinenjabulo Sibeko, was only released from that lockdown just after 4 o'clock. And I say this because what it also does describe is that even in our interactions with National Treasury, they had no idea as to what to do because there just wasn't adequate planning for the potential outcome of a postponement. And for the first time, what they also have then found themselves floundering around is trying to make sure, you know, how do they manage the information that has already been handed to these journalists and economists, which is typically viewed as sensitive information before it is released. And now, after removing that embargo, have come forward to say that the information can be published or used to provide some context to the postponement, but they won't necessarily be available for any further interviews and conversations. So I completely agree with you in terms of just the lack of alignment in communication, because it really was disorientating and a lot of confusion that was had earlier on today with multiple media briefings from the presidency, then National Treasury, then the various ministers and MPs, and then also not getting any clarity on what happens now with the information that journalists have been exposed to but can't necessarily be used within reporting due to the embargo. But we do understand that SANEF, the South African National Editors Forum, is also looking into this and made progress in this regard.
Yes. So here's the thing, right? And I'll touch on two points. The first one, you both know that comms often involves spinning.
Mm-hmm.
We will be polite and just call it that. Sometimes it's actually blatantly lying, but sometimes you've got to do it. Now, you can only successfully lie if people don't have the information at hand. So let me give you an example of this. If people did not have a copy of the budget speech, then nobody would have known that the dispute was around the 2 percentage point VAT increase, right? You could have said that maybe Minister Enoch Godongwana has fallen ill and we need to postpone. People would have taken that and thought, okay, understandable, plausible, and that's fine. It wouldn't have been as much of a calamity as what we are now witnessing, right? That's the first thing. The second thing that I think we need to address is, you know, we can speak about what the DA is saying, but we can also look at what the DA is doing and the results of that. In the first hour, Gugu, you spoke about various forms of tax. Right? We know that if you're going to collect tax, you may opt for value-added tax because it's the easiest one to collect, right? There are other forms of tax you could go to, and you spoke about this in the first hour as well. Now, let's say you go to corporate tax. Economically, we know if you go to corporate tax, what happens? Jobs. Unemployment tends to rise, right? So already you're affecting the people that are the most poor. So these are your actions. I'm just highlighting the results of your actions. Or you could go, fine, maybe let's do
personal tax.
Yeah, 100%. Personal tax, but as you heard again, less than 500,000 people already contribute to majority of what we have as a tax base. So 50% comes from less than 500,000 people. What ends up happening is those people then start to flee and they go, well, I don't want to live in this country. The burden is too much on me. It's already 45%. How much more can I take? You spoke about the Laffer curve as well, Gugu, in the first hour of the show. So essentially, these actions in the short term may seem like they are a good thing for poor people. But then the question you've got to ask yourself is, where is this money going to come from then if we do not increase VAT? Because if the money doesn't come, then something needs to be cut. And guess what? That's going to affect poor people even more.
And I think you raise such an important point there, Susie, because you're quite right. South Africa, just when we take a look at, you know, this the context of the budget, we're essentially a household that is struggling, over indebted, doesn't have enough adequate finances to allocate to infrastructure projects, as well as the necessary resources. And I perhaps want to tie this back to what you described earlier on when we look at previous presidencies and leadership. And you've often been very clear in the conversations you've had on Seize the World that the commentary and research around the leadership of Thabo Mbeki at the time really saw a positive economic outcome in South Africa's economy. And since then, there's been a consistent decline. We can't forget state capture. We can't forget the impact of corruption. And of course, how that in itself has led to just shortages in terms of the economic potential that we really can explore. And perhaps this also just highlights then again the concern around, unless we find the innovative solutions to raise the revenue that's required, we can't go back to debt. Pumelo, you've spoken about the ratings agencies. And of course, we have a limited number of tax-based payers who can contribute. It feels like we're stuck. The solutions are there. But I think this just means taking very hard decisions and really sticking by them.
You know, Gugu, you often speak to some very maverick kinds of analysts on your show that I'm not sure we incorporate into our discussions, or anybody for that matter does. Duma Kobule is one that constantly argues for,
yes,
you know, innovation. And we keep making the same mistakes. He calls them mistakes. He says, you know, we cannot keep doing the same thing and still feel surprised when we are stuck. He says this idea that we are overburdened by a loan is crazy for him. And we need to start moving outside of that speak to start seeing what is possible. Can we even have the conversation about what is possible if we get more debt and start generating the economy and move the economy in that direction? He says nobody wants to have the conversation. But the question is, if we don't have different kinds of conversation, what then is the implication? It takes us to where Caesar just said, you know, we want to have infrastructure projects. We want to do a lot of things. And we've just upset other nations who we thought maybe were going to partner with. And so it's difficult. So that infrastructure money is not necessarily going to come in a form of a handout from somebody. It has to come somewhere. Where is that going to come from? And people need to be realistic about what then does that mean for our policy? And can you keep, there are things that we need to be having very difficult conversations about. Who here would dare continue on this trajectory with the army, for instance, defense? We've seen what that looks like with those budget cuts. People need to have honest conversations about, can we stay on this policy or do we really need something quite radical? And what does that look like? And so those are the questions we need to be asking.
Definitely. Well, one thing's for sure, this is a hot conversation and one that needs everybody involved. And we're getting many voice notes. And perhaps let's also just hear a few of the thoughts that many of you have shared with us. As a reminder, you're listening to Kaya Biz, a special broadcast of our Budget Day special. One that has been postponed, but has come with many, many layers for us to unpack as we are in conversation with Sizwe Gomo, the host of Seize the World, and Phimelo Mudene, the host of Point of View. You too are welcome to join us for this conversation. 086-000-959 is where you can share your voice notes too. It's getting busy, very busy. Let's listen to a few. First one from Lavislani.
I'm very much against the idea of increasing VAT. Honestly, I don't know where the South African money is it's actually going. They issue a whole lot of government tenders and yet nothing gets done. Look at our roads all over the country. Look at our parastatals. They are in dire status. Nothing's actually happening. We don't know where the money is going, honestly. So what is the use of increasing this VAT? Can they just let it be the way it is? 15%. That 1% increase in 2018, for me, it was just too much. It was too much. I, for one, actually saw it when I actually sold my house. That was, that hit me so hard, honestly. Can they just leave things the way they are? Because South Africa has got money. We do have money, but it's not being used appropriately. I think they've just employed wrong people who do not understand where the money is supposed to go and how the money is supposed to be used. It's only benefiting those that are in government, those that are rich, and the poorest of the poor are still struggling to this day from 1994, 30 years now.
My point or my opinion is that if we can explore that oil and gas which is on our shores next to between Eastern Cape and Western Cape through government, not a private sector, through government, and then government, and then we have our, and then we build also our refinery on top of that. I think money that comes from that, it will cover all our debts and then employment plus other things, factors that we have in this country. We've got many things, and then there are people who are blocking that it must never happen. But let it be blocked, but through government, let it happen. Not with the private sector, but with the government sector. I think that it will. We can go through. We can see the light through the channel.
Evening, Gugu, Sizwe, and Phimelo. You know, today I don't believe now in the statement of our president when he said we cannot be bullied. Now I don't believe what he said, but we cannot. Like today, it has been shown that behind the scenes, this GNU, they are pulling each other around at our expense as citizens of the country. And about the 2%, you know, I'm not really sure on the intentions, because our MPs, they also have this element of greed. I don't know, is it their only interest only, or really the interest of the general public? I'm really quite not sure there.
Mantombi there with the last voice note. And as you typically say on First Things First, Sizwe, yay, 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 yay. Maybe she's spitting facts. Huh?
So let's address the second part of our voice notes first, right? You are correct in that the public sector wage bill is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And when we speak of public sector, essentially we always think of the people that are prominent, the people that we see, we speak about the blue lights, etc., and so on. Even if you were to shave those salaries down, it's still nowhere close to being enough to cover what we need. Public sector as a whole includes people that are employed by government, teachers, nurses, cops, etc., and so on. That's the majority of where the issue is. And there isn't much fat that we can trim. Now, the first part speaks to the issue that we have at hand here today, in that we have seen a government issue devolve into party politics. And maybe let's explain. The ANC thus far in this GNU has always approached whatever decision they had to make policy-wise with a very strong arm. In other words, the president has decided with his ANC part of the cabinet the direction they're going to take. And he has always approached the DA and said, well, take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And the DA, for the most part, has had to swallow the pill. It seems like strategically the DA was waiting for an opportune moment to show that we don't always have to swallow the pill, buddy. And today, they gave him the proverbial middle finger, and it stings the most because this is where he needed them the most.
The ANC is not in charge anymore, folks. And this is clearly a reminder that we don't have the majority ANC anymore. We have a situation where they now have to really consult. Mm. If they thought they were able to do these things without having to consult, now they have to. You know, I thought it was quite funny when the minister said, we have a president, I think I mentioned that earlier, and then he spoke about the clearinghouse, saying, well, that doesn't work with a budget. We're not going to be going there with that. Well, actually, we're here now. And that clearly means they're going to have to sit down and talk about the issues that got them here in the first place. And I don't know then whether that means to all of us, is the president weaker? Today, suddenly, he looks weaker.
What if there's what if there's something that we're all not seeing? So, for example, if I wanted 50 rand from you, Gugu, and I come to you and I ask you for 100 rand, then you go, oh, I don't have 100 rand, I'm very sorry. And then I go, okay, 50 do? Then you go, okay, yeah, 50 I'll give you. What if they went in with the proposed 2 percentage point increase in VAT, knowing that there'd be this kind of a pushback? And then they'll come back and say, well, now all we need is 1%. We've made a compromise.
Well, remember when Malusi Gigaba tried that with the 1%? And there was a lot of backlash. So even the 1% for a country where people are unemployed, where people are struggling, and they speak about this zero-rated basket, it has never worked. Children are still stunted. So you are not seeing the effect of that zero-rated basket changing how the poor are experiencing their daily lives. So at a level, again, I still think they need to be a bit more innovative. And I'm not sure, even if that were true, Sizwe, and we went with that theory, they certainly didn't do a good job in communicating that, or at least they didn't look like they had a unified comm strategy. They were frazzled. I thought their body language was not really boding well for them as well, too. I didn't think this looked like a government that had it together. At least the ANC didn't look like they had it together.
I'm so intrigued because this just takes us back to the art of negotiating. And Sizwe, you know how to push for a good deal. We typically had these conversations before. You've highlighted through various interviews on the show it's a tough game, but you need to be on your A game, as you typically say.
100%. So maybe let's just look at the GDP equation, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's an element of the GDP equation that we haven't mentioned yet. People always speak about it, and it's the issue of the private sector sitting on reserves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you can either have government spending or the private sector themselves can spend and boost the GDP.
Mm. But they need incentives.
100%. And they also need certainty.
Yeah.
Without the certainty, companies don't know what to expect. And so they're always sitting in a state of readiness to flee should they need to, right? Don't overinvest in the country because it's very difficult to leave and take your plants should you ever need to. Now, I think this is the time where we need to have a very stern discussion with the private sector and say, you guys need to obviously now put foot on the wheel. And I think you need to come to the party because the reserves you're sitting on could very much help this country at this point.
Mm. Well, you're a business person with a government that cannot come to a conclusive, decisive decision about what to do with a budget on the day. And you still think this is a government that is going to give you some level of certainty when they cannot manage, and they keep telling us, on the one hand, no, we've got it together. And then the one minister says, no, the clearinghouse is not working. And then you actually in real time see the fact that actually this is not working, because if it was, we wouldn't again be having this conversation.
Well, there are varying levels of business. There are people that conduct business out of necessity.
Yeah.
People that don't have a choice, right? Mm-hmm. No matter what happens to the country, they would need to make something out of it because they need to live at the end of the month. Mm. Those people are not to blame here. We are talking about the multinationals, right? The hundreds of billions that we always get told about. The foreign direct investment. Those are people who have a choice because they choose where to plant their money. And I suppose if you're already in South Africa, you need to show that you believe in South Africa wholeheartedly, or it's just lip service.
Let me ask you this. When Donald Trump and the AfriForum saga came to the fore, the rand moved up. This afternoon, the rand very quickly dipped. What is business telling us about their confidence in this government?
I agree. But again, the rand also moved by a lot of international factors. But you are very right, Ospimilo. What I've been hearing from the sidelines, especially in terms of business, we just have to look at the number of businesses that have either made threats to divest from South Africa or have found themselves just struggling to operate. And I think ArcelorMittal is perhaps a great example to bring to the fore right now, given that they've struggled in their operations, not only on the back of Eskom, but Chinese imports that have come into the market, but also privately led business, which now is looking for government support, but perhaps with the right incentives, with the appropriate policies to actually ensure that we prioritize manufacturing, then there might have been a different outcome in terms of its sectorial performance and the operations of the company overall. But I there's a lot that's going on. And again, for many of our listeners, if you've just joined us, this is a Kaya special broadcast that we have with Sizwe Gomo of Seize the World and Pimelo Modena of Point of View, helping us unpack the many layers that are present within the postponement of the budget speech. We're talking politics, business and finance. And Pimelo, this is usually when you and I talk about what's coming up on POV. Go ahead.
You know, you were just saying now that obviously many factors impact on the rand, and that's very good. But you heard from the reactions from government, from reactions that you got from business, clearly people are annoyed. They're annoyed that we're here. They're annoyed that today's budget didn't go through. And, you know, I think Cesar's point is also very important about your investment and how much you invest in the country and your sentiments about a country. Whenever something like this happens, you always kind of want to shift the blame to the ANC and the ANC not managing the problem. Nobody's blaming all the parties of the GNU. See how quickly the DA was able to, using propaganda, I suppose, because they haven't said that they were the ones that opposed it, but everybody assumes they are the ones. They are starting to get this, you know, beautiful sheen on their comms about who they are. Suddenly they're very left and they're worried about the population, and people have the impression that they've saved us, right? So you get the sense that business is always ready to blame portions of government, portions of politics. And what's the ANC going to do about that reputational damage? Because at the moment, the damage sits with the ANC, and the damage right now sits with the executive. And when we speak of the executive, we speak of the ANC. We very quickly forget it's a GNU when it's negative, and we never really want to blame the GNU. And we are now saying the GNU members have saved us. That's actually what people are saying, Cesar.
Yes, and I think to add to that complication, over the last 6 years, we've had an issue in the country in that the ANC is viewed in one way, whereas the ANC president is viewed in another.
Mm.
So the ANC is viewed as anti-business. The ANC president, however, seen as pro-business. Likewise, if you look at how people are speaking of the GNU, they speak of the executive, for example, in one way, but the head of the executive in another.
Mm.
So even now, when people say, well, this has fallen apart, I have not once heard anybody say Cyril has failed in
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
Yep, you see? 100%. And so as long as you got that kind of duality, then people can kind of hide behind a thumb, because you can at any point, whenever it's convenient, blame the person that is seen to be the wrongdoer, and you escape the accountability.
Sure. So much more to discuss.
I just want to say that I agree with Caesar. I mean, honestly, it's important that we understand that democracy is democracy. If you don't like it, then it's not going to actually survive. That DA has opposed, essentially, opposed the 2% rise shows that when there is no other voice of opposition around the table, anything that is said by one party goes. And this is what I'm happy about. I'm not disparaged about the GNU at all. I actually want to see from now on who's the best person to vote for. And my dear, I've kept my vote for many years. I think this time around, next year, I am in the diaspora, but I am going to vote. Let's see how this unfolds. Yes, it's exciting. To me, it is exciting. A democracy has to be about agreements to disagree. Let's fight it out around the table. And let us not make those who are already worse off drown in poverty. That's my take on it.
But still, they might have all the complaints that they want to do and all that, and try to be the people's party, DA and all that. But the truth of the matter is that, like Caesar said, imali zophuma aphi. Yes, let's decline this, but imali zophuma aphi. What's their plan? What are they tabling on the table, yabo? Because it's easy, like Caesar said, it's easy for us to fight about this. But at the end of the day, do you have a solution? No, I don't think they have. So, tinalana will send them a pepper items. And I'm sure they knew very well that they didn't see it now. They knew very well, and they thought this is a good time to actually say, nope, we are not going with this.
I just want to add my honest opinion about this whole increase in anything, really. It doesn't have to be VAT. Increase in any tax, well, apart from sin tax, that's a great way of generating extra money. But I believe the government is trying to fill a leaking bucket. This bucket that they want to fill has got a massive hole. And instead of trying to repair the hole and stop the, or limit the leaking, they just want to put in more water into the bucket. I mean, there's a lot of money that the government is generating, a lot of money. And at the same time, there's a lot of money that the government is just wasting. So instead of finding new ways to like oppress the citizens, there should be actually the first strategy of the budget should be how to stop the leak in the bucket that we already have.
Well, those are voice notes that we had from our listeners, Tandi Kutso, as well as Tabi, giving us their feedback on the postponement of the budget and some of the issues around it. And if we're learning anything about this today, is not only how a democracy is at play, a coalition government as well, seeing ongoing deliberations. But also, Pimelo, to come to you, this reminds me of the time when we covered the elections. And perhaps was a gentle reminder to South Africans right now that their vote really does count, because this is where the techie hits the tar. Go ahead. I know there's a lot you want to share.
Yeah, you know, I just want to remind everybody that I'm not sure we are clear about the DA's position. I just want to be careful about crediting them on this 2% issue. I just want to be clear. There are opportunities. Politics is like that. People take advantage of a situation. And if I were the DA, I would absolutely do the same thing. I don't know if the DA is the one that has opposed a 2%. I don't know. And either way, the DA are not running the government. And they would always get away with whatever, actually, because they will never take the flak for whatever decision has to be made. So whether they... And I would say, no, I am the one who opposed a 2%. I don't know if that's a fact or whether that is part of the opportunity that you take and you jump on the bandwagon, because you already know the population is going to oppose it. On the other hand, you also have the ANC, which actually, frankly, right now has an identity crisis since it's gone into the GNU. Nobody knows exactly what the ANC stands for. Here you have Phile Mbalula, who says, absolutely not, we would have opposed it, we're not for it. Here you have the minister, an ANC minister, tell you something completely different. And then there is obviously a budget that we saw that was leaked that states something else. So the point I'm making here is that we also have to ask ourselves, what exactly is going on in the ANC? Who are the ANC right now? And they seem quite schizophrenic to me.
Now, speaking of opportunism, right? This is an opportune moment for anybody who is not ANC.
Exactly, exactly.
Right? Mm. It's almost like if you're exactly. the DA, you started pulling on a thread.
Absolutely.
And it's unraveling and you're just going to keep pulling on it.
Absolutely.
If you listen to Kuto's voice notes, Kuto spoke about how there are leakages already in the current fiscus, and he's not wrong. That conversation is going to circle back to corruption and wasteful expenditure. And who's at the heart of that? It's going to be the ANC.
Absolutely.
The DA is going to turn around and say, okay, fine. Yeah. Before we even agree to this 2% porridge increase, how about this? The money you guys do have, you're not using wisely. And that's going to be a very, very, very bad reflection on the ANC. Likewise, if I'm the EFF, I'm outside of the GNU. I'm not going to look at the ANC and go, hey, look at this GNU thing. It's not working, is it? Right?
Exactly.
If I'm MK, I'm going to look and say, hey, do you remember when you got rid of our leader? You guys thought better times were coming. And in fact, it's only gotten worse. So there's a lot to criticize the ANC on now as a result of just today alone.
Yeah. I mean, it's, as I said, it's a great moment to be sitting outside the GNU. Did you see them today? Take the moment. Yes. You know,
oh, I did. Oh, yeah. They were singing and chanting. They were in and out of the briefing.
And they would. They would, right? Sona was great. Everybody clapped. Actually, majority of them clapped. The question is, how was a president going to realize all of those plans? How is a president going to actually go to the G20 and really tell us and tell the world like he was telling them pre this G20 at the last G20 that, you know, South Africa is working together very well. This is a clear indication that we don't have it together very well. That GNU has got cracks. And I'm afraid it's not just the GNU. I think the cracks are actually within the ANC and it's worrying.
And fortunately, in the next 15 seconds, point of view begins. So this is exactly your forte. This is where everybody can give us a call and give us a shout, because I really am interested to know where this leads us now politically, according to what you see.
So quickly, I'll tell you what's coming up on the show. What's coming up on the show is what I really want to know is what happened when. That's, for me, is the question. What happened when? For all these political parties that we're going to get reaction from, we are all speculating here. That's what we're doing. But I think the facts need to be put to the fore. It's going to be important, and it's going to be interesting to see who's telling us what lies. Because from what I've been hearing, those stories are not all, they don't all make the same sense. So one political party says, no, we knew at this point. Another political party says, no, we only knew this morning. Another political party says something different. I'm curious about what conversations were had, when they were had, and who made the call when. I think that timeline is very important. It's going to help all of us understand what actually happened.
100%. I'm looking forward to it. It's been an amazing day, especially for us as members of the media. So as mentioned, this has been a wrap of Kaya Biz, a special broadcast here on the show, reflecting on the budget speech. But of course, there's Point of View with Pimela Modene. And I'm assuming first things first tomorrow morning, Sizwe?
Well, I need to decide now what we're going to cover, because we covered quite a lot tonight. But let's see.
100%. It's been a pleasure bringing the special broadcast to you as our Kaya 959 family. It's officially 8 o'clock.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.